ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are going to discuss based on a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. This is from the 11th canto, chapter 7, entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava, text number 20. So I will just recite the verse and translation and purport, and then we will discuss. Atmano Gurur Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshataha यत् प्रत्यक्षानुमानाभ्याम् श्रेयोसाव अनुविन्दते। वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। आत्मनः ऑफ हिमसेल्फ गुरु द इंस्ट्रक्टिंग स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर आत्मा हिमसेल्फ एव इंडीड पुरुषस्य ऑफ ए पर्सन विशेषतः इन ए पर्टिकुलर सेंस यत् बिकॉज pratyaksha by his direct perception, anumanabhyam and application of logic, shreyaha real benefit, asau he anuvindate can eventually gain. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. An intelligent person expert in perceiving the world around him and in applying sound logic can achieve real benefit through his own intelligence. Thus, sometimes one acts as one's own instructing spiritual master. Purport. As illustrated in this chapter by the conversation between King Yadu and the Avadhuta, a sensitive, reasonable person can acquire real knowledge and happiness simply by carefully observing the world around him. By observing the happiness and distress of other living entities, one can understand what is beneficial and what is destructive. Srila Jiva Goswami states in this connection, Guru Anusarane Pravartaka Iti Artaha. The knowledge acquired by one's own perception and intelligence leads one to appreciate the value of the representative of Lord Krishna. The word Shreyas in this verse indicates that one can advance in life through one's own intelligence. By good association, one should gradually come to understand one's eternal position as servant of Krishna. And then one becomes very eager to live in the company of other enlightened persons. Birds of a feather flock together. The symptom of an enlightened servant of Krishna is that he is eager for the company of other such great souls. Thus, by one's sensitive and rational observation of this material world, one should come to appreciate the value of spiritual life in the association of the devotees. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we welcome all the devotees for the Sunday feast program. Know that today it is raining heavily, and especially there is like water all around. It's still despite all the problems, we are very grateful that you have taken out your time to come and hear about Lord Krishna, about the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So today we are discussing from this particular verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. So in this particular verse, Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhava, and he tells that an intelligent person expert in perceiving the world around him and in applying sound logic can achieve real benefit through his own intelligence. Thus, sometimes one acts as one's own instructing spiritual master. So, in this particular verse, Lord Krishna is saying, Atmano Gurur Atmaiva. He says one can use one's own intelligence as one's own spiritual master and perceive the world and learn lessons from him. Lessons from the world. And especially here, if you read the purport, we read that Srila Hridayanand Maharaj, he mentions that a sensitive, reasonable person can acquire real knowledge and happiness simply by carefully observing the world. He's mentioning a sensitive and a reasonable person. So we see that many people perceive this world because this verse can be used to actually drive the point that there is no need to accept a spiritual master. One can accept one's own intelligence as a spiritual master and in this way learn lessons by observing the world. But here it's mentioned, especially in trying to observe the world, the qualification of the person should be, he should be sensitive and intelligent. A sensitive, intelligent person, by observing the world and by application of sound logic, one can learn lessons. And in this way, one can accept one's own intelligence as the spiritual master. And it is important to note that when such a person, when such a sensitive, reasonable person, intelligent person, when he observes this world and learns lessons from it, the realization which that person will get is, he will actually value the association of the devotees of the Lord. Because especially here it is mentioned that the knowledge acquired by one's own perception and intelligence leads one to appreciate the value of association of Krishna's representatives. So we can clearly understand that this does not actually recommend that one actually leaves, one does not associate with the devotees. In fact, the result of trying to perceive this world through one's proper intelligence and by the application of sound logic is, a person comes to the realization that one has to associate with the devotees. He appreciates the value of the association of the devotees. So we see that many times people actually perceive this world, but then because they are not sensitive and they don't have the right kind of intelligence and they don't have the right kind of logic, they come to different conclusions. In fact, like I have heard this story many times. Like once a person who was doing cloth business. So he had done many years of business and then he grew old. But although he grew old, he was still very much attached to the every details of the family affairs and the business. So the sons of this particular businessman, they were getting very much troubled. And they told, they wanted to develop some renunciation in their father. So in order to actually inspire some renunciation in their father, they decided to take their father to different holy places. So they took him to different holy places, but although this person visited different holy places, but he did not develop any attitude of renunciation. He was still very much attached to the business and everything. So then finally, they actually brought him to Varanasi and they brought him to the Dashashwamedha Ghat where the dead bodies were being burnt. And so when he actually came to that place, he actually started like shedding tears. So his sons thought that, oh, ultimately we have achieved the goal. ultimately our father has actually developed some renunciation. But his father said, whole life actually I spent doing cloth business. If only I had known that there is so much of demand for wood, I would have actually entered the wood business. So basically the point is that many people perceive this world, but when a person is attached to certain things, then he perceives everything in relation to his particular attachment. Although the burning of the dead body should actually inspire a person to develop detachment, this person actually, he thought of something else. On the other hand, when a person is actually attached to the Supreme Lord, whatever he sees in this world, he wants to see that Krishna element. He wants to learn lesson by which he can actually come close to the Supreme Lord. Like one of my friends, one of the devotees, was giving the example. Like Gujaratis, they would want actually sugar in every preparation. Nothing wrong about the Gujarat. I'm just making a point that even in the case of a dal or something, they would not accept dal without a sugar in it. Or for example, South Indians or certain states, they would want coconut in every sabji. Without coconut, that preparation is incomplete. So similarly, in the case of the devotees, they want to perceive everything in relation to Krishna. In fact, in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the sages of Naimisharanya, they ask a question to Suta Goswami. So they are asking a question about Parikshit Maharaj. They heard that Parikshit Maharaj punished a low-class person who was actually torturing a cow and a bull. When they heard this, the sages of Naimisharanya, they asked questions to Suta Goswami, but how is it that Parikshit Maharaj, he only punished this low-class person who was torturing a cow and a bull, and why is it that he did not actually kill them? Because at that time, the Vedic culture was so prominent, that a person who was actually torturing a cow and a bull, he will be immediately killed by the king. So they were completely surprised to hear that he was only punished and not killed. And then, in fact, they conclude the verse by saying, Tat Katyatam Mahabhaga Yadi Krishna Katashrayam. Please narrate the subject matters if they are in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yadi Krishna Katashrayam. So, in one sense, the subject matter of a king punishing a low class person, it's just like a normal activity in a kingdom. But the sages are asking, please narrate these activities if they are in relation with Krishna. That means the nature of a devotee is that they want to, if the Krishna element is there in that, they want to hear that. Or like sometimes, if you see, like suppose there is suppose there is a bomb blast. Suppose a bomb blast happens in Bombay. So then the police, when they try to investigate, even if they don't find some apparent connection, they would want to know that how a particular neighboring country is involved in the bomb blast. So basically the point is, suppose if there is a bomb blast in Israel, they would want to know, even if there is no apparent clue or indication, they would want to know how maybe Palestinians are involved in that. So basically, similarly, even if there is no apparent connection, if the event is not directly connected with Krishna, a devotee of the Lord wants to see that event in connection with the Supreme Lord. So that is why whatever he perceives in this world, he tries to perceive in the light of the scriptures. So today, we are going to discuss, recently, a few months back, we had taken some of the youth, some of the boys to our Govardhan Eco Village. in the it's a farm it's a farm near Wada. So when we actually took the boys, we had taken the boys on a trekking. There's a mountain near the farm. So the boys went on a mountain trekking, and then they had like different experiences. So we are trying to churn some lessons from this event of like going on the top of a mountain and coming back. We're trying to attempt some lessons in the light of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is actually in accordance to this particular verse. So first of all, if we see this aspect of like going on a mountain, going on a trekking, like why do people want to go on a trekking? There are actually different reasons to it. I remember like when I was studying in the college, like whenever there would be some mid-semester exams or you know, there would be some weekend or something, sometimes they would put up a notice in the hostel that, so we are going on a mountain trekking to Kandala or like some places nearby. So many times people actually, they have the interest to go on a trekking, etc. So one of the reason for going on a trekking is like, people want to achieve something. Like we see in the history also, like many people, they went on a trekking to on the Himalayas. They went to Mount Everest and different peaks of the different high mountains. Because people want to achieve something in their life. But if you see this concept of achievement, what is actually the highest achievement? In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, like Krishna says in the 6th chapter, Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha yasmin sukena dukena gurunapi vichalyate. Krishna says that what is actually highest achievement is that Yam labdva chaparam labam. When you achieve that particular state, There should be nothing higher than that. That means highest achievement is that state which is free from hankering and lamentation. So in this world, we want to achieve so many things. Sometimes people want to achieve in the form of like going on a trekking and going on a peak of a mountain. Some people want to achieve in the form of getting a medal or getting a car and or promotion, etc. But if you see, invariably, although people achieve different things, still after, even after that, they hanker after something else, or they lament over something else. So the highest achievement is that state in which a person is freed from hankering and lamentation. And then Krishna says, Esmin sitona dukena guru napi vichalyate. And highest achievement is that state in which a person will not be shaken even from the greatest calamity. Yasmin sitona dukkena. After being situated in that state, one will not be shaken even from the greatest calamity. So that highest achievement, according to the scriptures, is a person develops love for the Supreme Personality of God. Like for example, a classic example is from the Chaitanya, from the pastimes of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there was an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called as Srivas Thakur. So Srivas Thakur, at the house of Srivas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they were performing Sankirtan. So when the Sankirtan was being performed, at one point, the son of Srivas Thakur dies. So at that time, all the family members, they start crying. So Srivas Thakur, he could understand that something wrong has happened. So immediately comes inside the house and he learns that his son has died. So he actually chastises his family members and he says that, why are you crying when the Supreme Lord is performing Sankirtan in our own house? When such an auspicious activity is happening in our house, why are you actually creating inauspiciousness by crying? And he tells them that do not cry till the Supreme Lord leaves. Then after some time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself comes to know. And then he is actually completely awestruck by the love of Srivas Thakur. So here we see that because Srivas Thakur is having the love for the Supreme Lord, Even though such a great calamity happened in his own life, that his young son died, that he was not at all shaken by it. So this is actually the highest achievement. And another reason for why people go on trekking is that people want some excitement and some thrill in their life. It's like a thrilling experience. It gives some excitement. Like even there are movies, they say like it's a suspense thriller. Or some movies with some ghost and this that kind of thing. Like sometimes people want some thrill. And because they don't know what is the, because they don't know the proper way to satisfy their need, they try to satisfy their need by going on trekking or by seeing some thriller movies. But that thrill only lasts for a certain time. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that Rajan samsmritya samsmritya samvadam imam adbhutam keshavar junayo punya krishyamicha muhur muhuhu. So Sanjaya is telling to Dhritarashtra, he's saying that O Rajan, O king, as I remember this wonderful conversation happened between Krishna and Arjun, my hairs are standing on end. Krishyamicha muhuruhu. I'm actually experiencing thrill. I'm completely excited as I remember this conversation. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, the understanding of Bhagavad Gita is so transcendental that anyone who comes in contact with that, he becomes righteous and he cannot forget such talks. One cannot forget such talks. And then he says that when a person hears from the right source, then one becomes Krishna conscious. And he says that the result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. So we see that if a person actually wants to experience some thrill and excitement, then according to the words of Srila Prabhupada, they said one should become Krishna conscious. And that is possible when a person hears from the right source. And when a person tries to experience thrill and excitement through other means, then one may experience some thrill, but that only lasts for some time. We don't hear that people going to watch the same thriller movies again and again, because they know the suspense. So again and again they can't watch and go and watch the same movie, and they will get bored. When a person becomes Krishna conscious, one can actually enjoy life with a thrill. And another reason for why people go for trekking is that people actually want to do some adventure, or they want to take some risk in their life. Like some people, they have the nature that they want to take risk in their life. In fact, in the psychiatry, the field of psychology and psychology, there is a term called as risk addiction syndrome. I was hearing from Shikshashtangam Prabhu, it was once mentioned in a class, that sometimes people are addicted to taking some risks. They can't do some routine job. They want some challenging work, which involves some risk. In fact, for example, there are some people, there was one person, his hobby was that he would actually run at a very high speed towards a train which is coming at a very high speed. He would run towards the train in the rails. And right at the moment when the train is about to hit, he would actually jump towards the platform. And people ask, why do you want to take such risks? He said that, I want to experience the emotions which the engine driver goes through during that time. Like that.
or sometimes like people take risks that they jump from the top of the mountain, and then just before they about to hit the bottom, they actually release their parachute like that. Because sometimes people want, because they want their names to be entered in the Guinness Book of Records. But actually, if you see, like this tendency to take some risk, we find that even in the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Like for example, if you see that example of Narada Muni. Like Narada Muni, like Narada Muni, he is known for his preaching to all kinds of people. Like some of the people whom Narada Muni preached is like Mrigari. Like Mrigari was a person who take pleasure in half killing animals. He was like so, he was in a such a, his consciousness was so dull that he was taking pleasure in other suffering. But Narada Muni went to preach to him. It is like attempting to preach to some Dawood Ibrahim, something like that. Narada Muni even like went to like preach to like even like Kamsa. He even went to meet Kamsa once, and he went to meet Hiranyakashipu by chanting the holy names. So such people are like considered like great terrorists, but Narada Muni, he was such a great devotee of the Lord, he would take great risks for preaching the glories of the Lord, for the service of the Lord. And Narada Muni, he went to preach to Nalakuvera and Manigrive, the sons of Kuvera. Nalakuvera and Manigrive, they were actually spoiled sons of Kuvera, and they were actually enjoying with the heavenly women naked in the Mandakini Ganga. It is something like something like trying to put a book table in a red light district. Like nobody can, we can't imagine doing like that. But Narada Muni was such a great devotee of the Lord. We can't imitate Narada Muni. But I'm trying to tell the point that even great devotees, like just like conditioned souls, sometimes they're addicted to taking risks. Even we see that even great devotees, they're addicted to taking great risks for the service of the Lord. But actually, if you see, you may see that there are so many people and who may not be addicted to taking risks. They just want to lead a routine life. They just want to do a normal job, 9-to-5 job, like that. But actually, if you see, every living being in this world, all of us, everyone's name should be there in the Guinness Book of Records. Because we have taken the greatest risk of leaving Krishna in the spiritual world and coming to the material world. So simply by this act of rejecting Krishna and coming to the material world, we have taken the greatest risk. So in that sense, actually, all the conditioned souls' name should be there in the Guinness Book of Records. So we see that the difference between the conditioned soul and a pure devotee is that conditioned soul takes risks driven by his false ego. But a pure devotee takes risks only with the desire to serve the Lord. So this is one of the reasons why people try to take risks, or like why people go on a mountain adventure. Like they want to take some risks or adventure. That's why they go on a mountainous trekking. And another reason why people who want to go on a trekking is that people want to experience different varieties of life, varieties of creation. Actually, this we find this particular tendency or nature in so many, in so many people, that they want to actually go visit different places. And actually, it is mentioned, it's not that we should not use it to judge others, but it is mentioned in the Mahabharata that one of the symptoms of a lust is that a person wants to travel to different places. A person wants to experience the varieties of creation. That's mentioned as one of the symptoms of lust. But we see that even great devotees of the Lord, they also actually travel to different places. But they are not actually driven by lust that they want to experience the varieties of creation. In the first canto, when Narada Muni, when he was there as a son of a maid servant, he travels all over the world. It's mentioned that he travels through metropolis, some cities, villages, mines, deep forests, and so many different places. But then it is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada mentions, pure devotees, they travel in order to gain faith in Lord, because by traveling to different places, they experience that how so many living entities are being protected by the Supreme Lord. And how everyone is being protected by the Supreme Lord. And they travel to different places to develop strength of mind. Because when they go through different situations, some situation may be comfortable, some situation may be uncomfortable. So by going through different situations, one can actually strengthen one's mind. And then the third reason why devotees travel to different places is that to enlighten the living entities in the science of Krishna consciousness. That's why, like one of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, his name is there in the Guinness Book of Records. Because he actually, for spending maximum number of hours in the year, like he would preach so, his preaching schedule would be so intense that he would travel to so many countries. Every few days he would be traveling. So his name is there in the Guinness Book of Records for actually for having spent maximum number of hours in the year. So we see, and another reason, we see, as I said, that people want to travel to different places because they want to experience the varieties of creation. They want to experience the beauty of nature. Again, in the first canto, in one particular verse, it is described, Shriyo Nivasa Yasyora Panapatram Mukam Drisham Bahavo Lokapalanam Saranganam Padambujam. This verse explains Lord Krishna. It's explained that Lord Krishna's chest is the reservoir of, is the shelter of Goddess of Fortune. Goddess of Fortune resides in the chest of the Supreme Lord. And then it is mentioned, Panapatram Mukam Drisham. Panapatram Mukam Drisham means the moon-like face of the Supreme Lord is the drinking vessel for the eyes which hanker after beauty of this world. Which is hankering after the beauty. So the moon-like face is the drinking vessel for the eyes which is hankering after the beauty. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, like those who are artists, they are especially fascinated by natural surroundings. Those who are artists, overtaken by the beautiful creation, they should better see to the beautiful face of the Lord for complete satisfaction. So people go to these natural places to see the beauty. But they will get complete satisfaction when they actually see the form of the Supreme Lord. Especially the face of the Supreme Lord. Because one should take darshan from starting from the lotus feet. So Prabhupada says the face of the Lord is the embodiment of complete beauty. And he says the beautiful nature which we see in this world is the smile of the Supreme Lord. And when people go to natural surroundings, they want to hear the chirping of the birds. And Prabhupada says the sweet songs of the birds are the specimens of the whispering voice of the Supreme Lord. So basically he's making the point that how when a person is attracted to the form of the Supreme Lord, then all ones hankering to see the beauty of this world, that will be completely satisfied. So this is the first point. We are trying to see that point, that why do people go on a trekking? So then, secondly, Like when we went on the trekking trip, sometimes like some devotees, like we started together, like some devotees went ahead and some devotees were like behind. So in the material world, like when a person goes on a trekking or something, there is a competition though. Who comes first? So they want to know, I was the first person who went on a Mount Everest. I reached first. So the material world, there's actually a competition. But actually, in Krishna consciousness, it is not about who reaches first. It's about like who completes the race. Like in the mundane Olympics or mundane in the material world, in the like running race or something. It's about like who comes first. But in Krishna consciousness, it's about like who completes the race. And Prabhupada writes in the first canto, Dharma Projita Kaita Votra Paramo Nirmat Saranam. It's mentioned that this literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant for people who are completely freed from envy. So there Prabhupada mentions, the reason for competition is that envy between people. And he says that pure devotees are transcendental to competitive sense gratification. Because they are actually completely free from envy. And then he says, the pure devotees, they are not envious of anybody. Not only they are non-envious, but they are well-wishers of the society. Being non-envious is like a neutral stage, not hating anybody. But a more positive thing is like being well-wishers of the society. But they are not only well-wishers, but they strive to establish a competition-less society in this world. That is like even further degree of non-enviousness. So, and then Prabhupada mentions that one may say that what about the contemporary socialist conception of competition-less society? The communists and socialists, they say that we are trying to establish a competition-less society. Everyone is equal in our society. But Prabhupada mentions that even in a communist, there is competition for the post of the dictator. So only in the platform of Krishna consciousness, there can be no competition. Like for example, in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami describes about Priyavrat Maharaj. So he say Priyavrat Maharaj was the emperor of the whole planet Earth. Not only planet Earth, he was actually the emperor of the whole Bhumandal. So once he was actually dissatisfied with the arrangement of the sun. He was thinking that only some part of the Bhumandal, only half the section of the Bhumandal is getting sunlight. The other half is not getting sunlight. Only for 12 hours they get sunlight, for 12 hours other people they don't get sunlight. So he was dissatisfied with the whole arrangement. So he wanted to create another sun so that people will get sunlight throughout the 24 hours a day. So he traveled in his chariot and with his mystic powers, he created another sun. In fact, it's mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the sun created by Priyavrat Maharaj, it was actually so pleasing that in the months of April and May, in the summer season, that sun would actually would give rays which would be like pleasing like the moon rays. And in the winter season, the rays of the sun created by Priyavrat Maharaj, that provided a lot of warmth. And then especially Prabhupada mentions one particular point, that Priyavrat Maharaj, although he created another sun, he had no desire to compete with the sun god. He created another sun not to compete with the sun god, only with the desire to benefit the living entities. So this is an important point, because sometimes even in a spiritual society, in trying to do welfare work, we are more concerned with competing with others than with doing welfare work. Like sometimes even in book distribution or something, like we may be more concerned about like who comes first than in actually doing welfare. So here it is mentioned that in Krishna consciousness, so it's mentioned Priyavrata Maharaj, he had no desire to compete with Sun God because a Vaishnava never wants to supersede another Vaishnava. And then the third lesson we learn is, like when we are going on a trekking, although people, we started at the same time, some people went ahead, some people were lagging behind. And after some time, those who were lagging behind, they went ahead. Like sometimes you may experience, sometimes when you are going to Tirupati or something like that. So you may be going, you may be ahead of certain people. And certain people who started later, sometimes they will actually go ahead of us. So similarly, even in Krishna consciousness, like sometimes we'll see that certain people who are taken to Krishna consciousness later, sometimes you'll see that they are actually advancing much more than us. They are actually going ahead of us. So we see that, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, once he went a group of Buddhists. So when he met this Buddhist, he was trying to preach to the Buddhist leader, the leader of the Buddhist, the guru of the Buddhist. So the leader of the Buddhist, he gave different arguments. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he defeated all the arguments of the leader of the Buddhist thoroughly, by perfect logic and reasoning. And then all the Buddhists could understand that he is a Vaishnava sannyasi, and they were very unhappy that, we have been defeated by this Vaishnava sannyasi. So then they made a plot to defame Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to destroy him or to bring down. So then they brought a plate of food which is untouchable. They brought a meat and untouchable food, and they came and offered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is actually Mahaprasad, you please eat it, like that they said. They brought actually some meat. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at that time when they gave the food to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some eagle or some bird came and took that plate, and then it threw the flesh and the followers of the Buddhists, and then it threw the plate and the leader of the Buddhists. So when the plate fell on the leader of the Buddhists, the leader of the Buddhists became unconscious. And the other followers, other disciples of that Buddhist guru, they became like bewildered. And then they approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that, so our guru has become unconscious, please do something. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them, you should all chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So then these devotees, all these disciples of Buddhist Guru, they could understand this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is they actually surrendered to the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they started chanting the holy names of the Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them that you should chant the holy names in the ears of your guru. And then they chanted the holy names in the ears of their guru, and then their guru came to consciousness. And then by hearing the holy names, and that guru also, his original consciousness was also awakened, he also started chanting and dancing in ecstasy. So in this connection, Srila Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. He says that, the disciples of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the disciples of this Buddhist, they initiated their guru in the chanting of the holy names. He says that, how is it possible that the disciples initiated their guru? He says, because these disciples received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that they got the power to initiate their spiritual master. And he says, unless one is favorable Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot act as a spiritual master. So the point is, like sometimes a person who actually came after us, he may actually go ahead of us. But that is possible because when a person receives the mercy of the Lord, somebody can actually go ahead of us. So this is the third lesson. And another important lesson in going on a trekking is that, especially when you go on a trekking, after some time we may get demotivated, we may get depressed, we may get tired. See, if you have to complete the mission, if you have to go on the top of that mountain and then come back, one should have enthusiasm and patience. Srila Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrit, he mentions, Utsahat Nishayat Dairyat. The favorable things for devotional service, he mentions six things, especially the first three things he mentions, enthusiasm and patience. And one may think, how can a person be enthusiastic and patient simultaneously? And one can be enthusiastic and patient simultaneously when a person has faith. In fact, like one devotee was sharing this realization. He was saying that if you see faith versus intelligence, if you see the whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks so many times about faith. He says, Ashraddha Dana Purusha. One who does not have faith in this process, he will actually continue to transmigrate. And he says, Shraddhavan Anasuyascha Shuniyad Apyo Naraha. One who hears this Bhagavad Gita with faith and without envy. And third chapter he says that, Yeme Matam Idam Nityam Anutishtanti Manava Shraddhavanto Anasuyanto. One who abides by this instruction with faith and without envy. So faith is mentioned so many times. So if you see faith and intelligence, so faith is given more importance than the intelligence. In fact, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam enamam upayantite. He says that if a person is, if he is like sincerely engaged in devotional service with love, without at all times, satata yuktanam, always, then I give the intelligence by which he will come to me. He says, I will give the intelligence if a person is sincere. But Krishna never mentions that I will give the faith. So faith is actually expected from us. So if a person is having the faith, but if he does not have the intelligence, Krishna will supply the intelligence. But if a person has intelligence, but if he does not have faith, his position is, he will actually continue to suffer. So enthusiasm and patience, both are possible when a person has faith. So in fact, Prabhupada writes in a purport, the whole process of Krishna consciousness is nothing but the development of faith. In fact, there is a saying which says that cyanide has no taste. Cyanide has no taste. Actually, this statement cannot be proved. When we say that one has to have faith, sometimes people say that we don't want to follow religion because we have to put faith. There is no guarantee of the result. But then, we actually accept so many things, although we are not verified it. For example, when you say cyanide has no taste, nobody has actually verified it because whoever has tasted cyanide, he did not survive to tell how it tasted. So we have to actually accept based on faith only. So basically, when you talk about faith, sometimes people say we don't want to practice spirituality because we have to put blind faith. There is no guarantee of the result. But then, there is a difference between blind faith and reasonable faith. Reasonable faith means, like before accepting a process, we see that before going to a doctor, we see the credentials of a doctor. Like suppose, one has to undergo a surgery or something. So the doctor says, oh, thank you very much. That you are the first person that I'm going to do the surgery. Thank you for coming to me. The person says like that, nobody will be actually ready to go for the doctor. So because nobody wants to be experimented. So we want to actually see the credentials of the doctor, how many surgeries he has performed, etc. So, and then, so reasonable faith means like before accepting a process, we see the credentials. And then after taking the treatment, we see that how it works in our own life. So this reasonable faith is a combination of these two things. Seeing the credentials before, and then it should be verifiable. So spirituality is actually, we are putting reasonable faith because before accepting a process, we actually see the credentials. Whether this person is coming in the proper bona fide parampara. Whether people who follow this process, how have they experienced transformation in their lives? And then we accept the process and we can feel the transformation in our own life. So that is why it is said that faith is like an accelerator and doubt is like a brake. Like Radha Gopinath Prabhu, like once he was going on a program, so it was like raining heavily. So the particular like billboard or particular like sign which is, that was actually missing because of the heavy rains. So he was not sure whether this particular road is the road leading to that particular destination. So the taxi, the auto rickshaw wala was like driving slowly. Then after some time when they met the first person, is this the road to go to this particular temple? And he said, no, not this road. You have to go back and then take the other road. So as soon as they came to know, then the accelerator was on full on. Then they went in full speed. So whenever we are doubtful, then we are ready to put the brake. The speed is slow. But when a person is having faith, that is like an accelerator, a person goes at the full speed. So when a person goes on a trekking, one has to have enthusiasm and patience. So similarly, when a person tries to take this journey of spiritual path, one has to have enthusiasm and patience. And in order to have both, one has to have faith. And the fifth lesson which you are going to learn is that when a person goes on a trekking, when a person reaches the top of the peak of the mountain and then he starts actually going, then he starts coming down. So when a person comes down the hill, one has to be actually more careful. Although, like when you are going up, we have to put more effort. When you are coming down the hill, we are actually putting less effort. But one has to be more careful because there's more chances of actually slipping and falling down. So similarly, even in the spiritual journey, like one has to be cautious of the different obstacles and the setbacks and the anarthas, and one has to be cautious of the illusory energy of the Lord or the Maya. Just like, I'll just give this example. Just like in an ordinary cricket match, like suppose the leg spinner is bowling. Suppose a batsman is like used to, after playing a leg spinner, then after some time he becomes a little confident and then he decides, okay, if the ball pitches here, then I will hit in this direction, in this particular gap. Then he decides like that. And then he attempts like that, but it becomes a googly. And he gets LBW and gets out. So basically, the point is that when a person is overconfident, then a person becomes a victim of the illusory energy. Let's say this particular verse in the Bhagavad Gita is like very important verse. Daivi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mameva Ye Prapadyante Mayam Yetam Tarantite. Like Krishna says that this external energy of mind, this is actually divine energy, Daivi Hesha. And this is composed of the three modes of material nature. And he is saying that this is my energy, Mama Maya. In fact, this particular one word is like one devotee was sharing his realization. Like because this external energy is Krishna's energy, that is very powerful. Because Krishna is so powerful, anything connected with Krishna is very powerful. Like when a person is a great person, anything connected with him, like remember, like one devotee went on his preaching tour to London. So for a few days he was staying in a house of a very rich person. So he was staying in the room, and when he went into the toilet, the toilet was such a high-tech toilet. The toilet was actually such a big, it was like a big room. It was like something like a, you can say like, maybe like a big flat in the toilet. And there were so many switches, and if you press on some switch, there would be colored water would come with certain perfumes and this thing. So basically the point I'm trying to make is like, if a rich person is there, and even the toilet in the house of the person will be actually something like, it will be very big and very astonishing for a normal person. So similarly, anything connected with Krishna is actually very powerful. So because this external energy of the Lord is Krishna's energy, it is actually very powerful. That is why Krishna says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. And in fact, there are two beautiful verses in the fifth canto which talks about the illusory energy of the Lord. So this is a verse spoken by Bhadrashravasa in the Bhadrashva Varsha. It's one of the region in the Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa is basically a part of Bhumandal. So in this particular prayer, he's saying, Aho vichitram bhagavat vicheshtitam gnantam janoyam himisham na pashyati dhyayam asadyar hi vikarma sevitum nirghritya putram pitaram jiji vishati. So this devotee is praying, he's saying that, so how wonderful is the illusory energy of you? He's telling the Supreme Lord, your illusory energy is so powerful that although people in this world, although they see that so many people are dying, and although they hear about death, and although they see that people dying day in and day out, but still they are so absorbed in enjoying material sense gratification, that although sometimes when the father dies, he is absorbed in enjoying the property leftward by the father, and without inquiring about how to prepare for death. And sometimes when the son dies, he tries to enjoy the property leftward by the son. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, sometimes a materialistic person even enjoys the wife of the son after the son dies. That is the power of the illusory energy of the Lord. And the next verse is like even more powerful. The next verse, Bhadrashrava is saying, Vadanti Vishvam Kavayosma Nashwaram Pashyanti Chadyatma Vido Vipashchita Tatapi Muhyanti Tavaja Mayaya Suvismitam Krityamajam Natosmitam. So in this verse, Bhadrashrava is saying that sometimes Vadanti Vishvam Kavayosma Nashwaram. He says that, but even great, this illusory energy not only acts upon the materialistic people, conditioned soul, sometimes it acts upon the liberated people. Aho Vichitram Bhagavat Vicheshtitam. He says, Vadanti Vishvam Kavayosma Nashwaram. Great learned people, they know that this material world is perishable. The death can come at any moment. And Pashyanti Chadyatma Vido. And they have realized this knowledge. And Prabhupada writes that a liberated soul has sufficient knowledge about the material world, and he is unattached to the bodily conception. And Vipashchita, they also preach about this knowledge. But still, even they also come under the control of the illusory energy of the Lord. That's why it is said, Krishnanand Prabhu was mentioning, like we say that the most wonderful thing in this world is that Yudhishthira Maharaj says to Yaksharaj is, although people see that everyone is dying, they think that, oh, we are not going to die, we are going to live forever. But even more wonderful thing is, that although we speak about it, but still we are actually not convinced about it. So that's what this particular verse says, that a liberated soul who has sufficient knowledge and who has actually realized it, who is unattached to the bodily conception, sometimes even they also come under the control of the illusory energy. And Prabhupada mentions that, he writes a very powerful purport. He said that because of association with the modes of material nature for a long time, even they also become captivated by Maya. And because of inattentiveness, when you are actually coming down the mountain, sometimes because of slight inattentiveness, one can actually just fall down. So similarly, because of inattentiveness, one can actually fall down. And no one should think himself as a liberated soul, but one should actually cautiously execute devotional service by rigidly following the regulative principles. Otherwise, a little inattention will create havoc. And then Prabhupada concludes the purport by saying, theoretical knowledge is actually insufficient to protect one. One should actually engage in the devotional service of the Lord. So the point is, the fifth lesson we learn is, that when you are coming down the mountain, one has to be more careful because one can actually slip and fall down because of overconfidence. And another thing which happened when we went on a trekking is that some of the devotees, after they reached the top of the mountain, there was a temple, and then when they were coming down the mountain, that when they actually came down, they reached a place which was 5 kilometers away from the farm. What happened was, like, they actually took a slightly different path. They thought that this is the right path to actually come down to the farm. But then, it was a slightly different path. They reached actually 5 kilometers away from the farm. So the point is that sometimes a small deviation, over a period of time, it can actually result in a great change. In fact, even in the field of science, there is a term called as deterministic chaos theory. Like, what it means is that the small minuscule changes in one part of the universe can create major change in other part of the universe. Like, sometimes the scientists say that, like, sometimes if there is some cycle tire burst in one place, and that can lead to certain thing, that can lead to certain thing, and because of that, there may be tornado in some other part of the world. Or sometimes, like, there is if a room is arranged in a particular way with different types of prisms, different kinds of mirrors, and then when you pass just one ray of light into the room, and because of the arrangement of the whole prisms, the whole room can be filled with, it can be completely filled with light, with great effulgence. So one ray of light can actually make so much of changes, and it can, the whole room can be filled with so much of brightness. So this is called deterministic chaos theory. Like, I remember, like one of the long back, one particular movie I have seen, like, there was a, like, villain. One hero was trying to kill a villain. So this hero was, but this villain was confident. He was saying that, how can you kill me? You are just a small person. So then there was a, like, complicated arrangement in the room, something like that. So this hero, he just puts a ball in one particular hole. And then that ball hits somewhere, and then that hits something else, and then finally, because of the whole complicated arrangement, an arrow is released, and then it directly pierces into the villain, and then he dies. So basically, the point I'm trying to say is that a small change can actually create in a great deviation over a period of time. So if you see in Prabhupada's purports, he again and again talks in different purports in the 6th canto, 5th canto. Like, a small indentation can actually create a great change. Like recently we went on a Mayapur Yatra. Like when you are went on a Mayapur Yatra, when you are going, that almost all the trains were like 46 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours late. Just because of some inattention of one particular driver who was driving one particular train. The Vidarbha Express, Express dashed into one local train near Thana or some Kasara. So because of that, so many trains were cancelled and so many devotees were booked on Gyaneshwari Express. They had to find so many means to book on another train and Tatkal and so many this thing, and then they had planned everything. Okay, in this station this prasadam will come, etc. And then all the trains were going in completely different schedule, and you were taking the lunch at 4 o'clock and dinner at 11 o'clock, like all because of like one small mistake of one particular driver. So similarly, like when we went on this trekking, so they just took a small different path. So in the top of a mountain, because of the small difference in angle, when they reach the bottom of the mountain, they reach 5 kilometer away in a different form. And they were so tired, they called from there that, please send a vehicle, we are so tired, we can't walk again. So the point is, so this is a very important thing. And so another important lesson is, so that is why one needs a guide in his life. So if they had actually taken a guide who is familiar with that path, so they would actually come to the farm. So because they were on their own, they actually reached some other place. So that is why Prabhupada actually mentions that even in the spiritual path, one needs a guide. In the 13th chapter of the Gita, when Krishna talks about 20 items of knowledge. In fact, the most important of the 20 items of knowledge is Mayi Chananya Yogena Bhaktir Avyabhicharini. That unalloyed devotional service is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then Prabhupada writes in the purport, even if a person is engaged in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Lord, still it is important to accept a spiritual master. Acharyo Pashamam. So it is important to accept a guide. So that is a very important lesson. That's why it is mentioned that Tad Vijnanartham Sa Gurum Yeva Abhigachet. So one must accept a guru. Sa Gurum Yeva Abhigachet. That means like one must. There is no like one may or one can, like that. One must is mentioned in the scriptures. And another lesson connected to the same point is that that one may think that, okay, we may need a guide in going initially when we trek on a mountain. But then once a person reaches on the top of the mountain, one may think that, okay, I have already traveled through the mountain. Then I know already the path, so maybe I don't need a guide now. One may think like that. So, but this shows that actually one needs guide in all situations. Even when sometimes this tendency that like, oh, after some time we don't need a guide. But actually, in the path of devotional service, a devotee feels the need of a guide in all the situations. And this is exhibited by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. In the Adi Leela Chaitanya Charitamrit, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami describes this pastime, that Mahaprabhu is telling to Prakashananda Saraswati. So Prakashananda Saraswati is saying that, why are you simply chanting and dancing? You are a sannyasi, you are supposed to discuss Vedanta. So Mahaprabhu said, my spiritual master told me that I am a fool. I should just simply chant the holy names. And I started chanting the holy names and started exhibiting so much of ecstatic symptoms. And when I started exhibiting the ecstatic symptoms, I went back to my spiritual master, Ishwarapuri. And I asked him that since I started chanting the holy names, I have become mad, I am getting these symptoms. So what kind of mantra you have given me? So he asked, so then at that time, Prabhupada writes in the purport that although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting the highest ecstatic symptoms, but still he is actually consulting his spiritual master. So Prabhupada says that, so therefore one should never consider oneself independent of the spiritual master to any situation. So this is another important lesson, that there is a need of guide in all situations, even when a person reaches an advanced stage, as even when a person reaches the peak of the mountain, there is a need of a guide. And like another important thing which happened was, like some of the devotees, when they were coming down the mountain, who went on the wrong path. So because like one devotee was a brahmachari, he was going on that path, so some of the other boys also followed. And they also ended up in the other form. So the point is, like, when there is a small deviation by the leader, then it also affects other people. Because like one brahmachari was going in that path, the other boys thought, okay, this is the right path, they also followed that brahmachari. So the point is that we see that when there is a small deviation by the leader, it actually affects the whole community, the result is greater. In one sense, like everyone is a leader to some extent or other. In a family or in a organization. Yeah. And like the classic example from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it comes in the sixth canto, when the demigod Indra, the king of the heavenly planets, he was in the assembly and he was seeing the heavenly damsels doing a dance performance in his assembly. So he was, because intoxicated with the opulence and enjoyment, so at that time, his spiritual master entered the assembly, but he did not actually get up to receive the spiritual master. So immediately, Brihaspati could understand this person is actually intoxicated with pride, and then immediately leaves the assembly. And within a few moments, Indra actually realizes his mistake. He just committed the mistake for a short moment, that he failed to respect his spiritual master. But the result of that small, nonsense, it appears like a small mistake, because this mistake is performed by Indra, who is the leader of the demigods, the result was all the demigods lost their opulence. So basically, when there is a small mistake, small deviation by the leader, it can actually affect the whole community like that. And another lesson connected to the same point, of course, it didn't happen, but there is always a possibility. Like sometimes, like when you follow that particular person on the wrong path, and then when you reach the bottom, you see that you are actually far away from the farm, and then the tendency is to blame that person. Because I followed you, because you took me on that path, that is why I came to this place. The tendency in this world is like, we tend to blame others. So basically, like we are reading sixth canto, Prabhupada says that, non purport, that actually everyone is responsible for his own condition. An intelligent person, an enlightened person, he will actually never put the blame on others. So actually, like before following him, we actually, before the other boys decided to follow that devotee, they first made the decision to follow the devotee. So in one sense, like, there's nothing to be blamed on the other person. We have to take the responsibility. So we see that this particular quality of taking responsibility for one's own condition, it is exhibited by so many devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So for example, just one devotee, like, if you take Indradyumna Maharaj, recently Rohini Priyapur was sharing this point in class. Like Indradyumna Maharaj, he was absorbed in worshipping the Supreme Lord, the deity form. That time, Agastya Muni comes. And because of absorption, he actually fails to understand that Agastya Muni has come. So Agastya Muni, he said, this person is not actually receiving me properly. And then he curses Indradyumna Maharaj to become an elephant. So Indradyumna Maharaj, nonsense. You are just absorbed in worshipping the Lord. And he has been cursed to become an elephant for that. But then, he didn't actually blame Agastya Muni. But he thought that previously I must have committed so many mistakes and offenses. The result of those offenses and mistakes are coming to me in the form of this curse. So he took actually responsibility for his own action. So that is an important lesson which we can learn. And another important thing is that the seventh lesson is that, like, when you see the mountain from a distance, like suppose if you see the mountain maybe from Bombay or from a very distant place, you will see that the mountain is small compared to ourselves. But when you come close to the mountain, you see that we are insignificant and the mountain is great. So similarly, even in Krishna consciousness, when a person is having a materialistic consciousness, in the materialistic consciousness, a person thinks himself to be great and he considers God to be small. So because of that, a person doesn't feel the need to take to Krishna consciousness. But when a person comes close to God, he feels that God is great and he feels his own insignificance. In other words, a symptom of a person who comes close to God is he actually becomes humble. Again, the classic example of humility or pridelessness is one particular personality in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Recently, I was narrating this point that in the first canto, Queen Kunti is saying, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shribir Yedamana Madhav Puman Naivarhat Abhidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. She says that when a person is intoxicated with high birth or high education or a beauty or Janma or with wealth, then it is very difficult to take shelter of the Lord. It is very difficult to call out the names of the Supreme Lord with great feeling. And Narada Muni, in another verse, the 10th canto, he says, out of these four things, high birth, high education, wealth, and knowledge, is that the one which can actually cause maximum intoxication is wealth. Because when a person has wealth, he has access to all the other three things. He can make the like a highly knowledgeable person do anything for him. He can actually buy even the most beautiful person. He can buy even the great person who are born in a good family also under him. So Narada Muni says the person who is having the wealth has the highest wealth can actually intoxicate a person to the great extent than the other three things. And we see in the third canto, Shri Rupini Kwanayati Charana Ravindam Leelam Bujena Hari Sadmani Mukta Dosha Samlakshyate Svatika Kudya Upeta Hemni Sammarja Diva Yadanugrahenya Yatna. This verse describes about Lakshmi Devi and who is having the greatest wealth. So wealth can cause the maximum intoxication. The person who is having the greatest wealth, the goddess of fortune herself. And what is she doing in the Vaikuntha planets? It is described that in the Vaikuntha planets, Lakshmi Devi is engaged in sweeping the floors of the Vaikuntha planets. In fact, it is said, we see that when a person considers oneself to be significant, it is difficult to do something insignificant. Something like sweeping or something like. And it is easy to consider ourselves to be insignificant in the beginning when others don't consider. Like, it is easy to consider ourselves as insignificant when others don't pay much attention to us. And it is more difficult to consider ourselves as insignificant when everyone is actually paying so much of attention to us. So here Lakshmi Devi, Prabhupada writes in the purport, even the greatest personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they are seeking the favor of Goddess of Fortune. Goddess of Fortune is considered as significant by the greatest significant people or the greatest powerful people in the world. But still, she is doing the most insignificant thing of sweeping the floor, because she actually realized the greatness of Lord Narayan. So because of that, although so many people are considering herself to be significant, she does not feel any hesitation to do the most insignificant thing. So in this way, Lakshmi Devi is exhibiting the quality of pridelessness or humility, because she actually understands the greatness. So that's the point, that when we actually, when you are far distant from the mountain, we consider the mountain to be small and we consider ourselves to be great. When we come close to the mountain, we consider ourselves to be small and mountain to be great. So that is the same thing which happens when a person comes close to the Lord. There are many more points. I'll just take few more points and then we'll end. And another important thing is that, again, when we come down the mountain, like when you come down the mountain, we have to put less effort compared to when you go up the mountain. Of course, one has to be cautious, we talked about that. But when you come down the mountain, we have to put less effort. So similarly, even when we practice spirituality, when a person comes to the mode of goodness, then it becomes easy to practice spirituality. So Prabhupada writes in the preface of Nectar of Instruction, he says, when a person comes to the mode of goodness, then everything concerning about how to make further progress is actually will be revealed to that particular person. So one has to put less effort. So that is why we have this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and following the four regulative principles. So the four regulative principles are important, because the four regulative principles help a person to come to the mode of goodness. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex and no gambling. Because these four principles break the four pillars of religion. Mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness. And we can also see coming down the mountain is easier. That is, like, we can also compare that to Varnashram Dharma. So when the Varnashram is established, then it provides a proper platform for practicing devotional service. That's why Srila Prabhupada said that half of my job is not yet done, which is to establish Varnashram. So when there is a proper stable platform, when there is a stable family life, when there is a stable society, when each one is engaged in their activities according to their varna and ashram, then provides a proper platform for, then it becomes easier to practice devotional service. Or another way to look at the same thing is culture, varnashram or culture. So when a person adopts a proper culture, then it has become easier to practice Krishna consciousness. So it is like culture is like a glass and devotional service is like a water. Like if you have to drink water, you have to hold the water in a glass. You can't say, you just throw the water from here, okay, drink the water. No, you have to give in the glass. So similarly, to practice Krishna consciousness, practicing Krishna consciousness becomes easy when a person adopts the culture of Krishna consciousness. So that is why when a person adopts the culture of Krishna consciousness, it is like coming down the hill. Less effort to practice Krishna consciousness. And another thing which happened in our mountain trekking was, after the boys came down from the mountain, they immediately went to the swimming pool in Wada. And there are two points in that. So they actually, and they were like relishing the swimming pool, like anything. When they went into the swimming pool, they were like excited and they were so tired, and it was like hot sun, and then when they came, went to the swimming pool, they were like completely relishing the swimming pool water. So if you see the happiness in the mode of passion is that initially it tastes like nectar in the beginning, at the end it is like poison. Vishayendriya samyogat yetadagre amrutopamam. But happiness in the mode of goodness is that yetadagre vishamiva pariname amrutopamam. Initially it will taste like poison, but at end it will be like nectar in the end. Initially when you take to spirituality, we may think, oh, so many rules and regulations, so I can't chant so many rounds. It may be like poison in the beginning. But then when we try to practice, it will be nectar in the end. But material sense gratification, it will be like poison, nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end. And another point is that we were actually stayed in the water for 2 days. And the first day also, the devotees went on a swimming pool, went to the swimming pool. And the second day after trekking also, they went to the swimming pool. But the second day, when they went to the swimming pool after the trekking, they were not ready to come out of the swimming pool for so many hours. In fact, like they spent so much of time in hot sun. We thought they would come for lunch or something. But they came to lunch after playing in the swimming pool for a few hours. So in one sense, like, they relished the waters in the swimming pool more on the second day than on the first day. After going through the experience of trekking in the hot sun, they actually developed more appreciation for the swimming pool. So similarly, if you see, like sometimes when a person practices spirituality, sometimes a person goes through certain difficulties. But when we go through the difficulties in the proper consciousness, and when we try to practice Krishna consciousness faithfully, at the end when Krishna gives certain realizations, one will be able to release those realizations. And they will be so pleasing that one will never want to compromise that situation. So the classic example is that of Bharat Maharaj in the 5th canto. Bharat Maharaj, if you see the example of Bharat Maharaj, story of Bharat Maharaj, it said Bharat Maharaj is the emperor of the whole planet, and he gave up the whole wealth and he went to the forest to perform devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And he almost reached the platform of Bhava, love of Godhead. And then he became attached to a deer. He went to save a deer, and then he became attached to taking care of the deer, and because of that he became the deer. Like something like like suppose a person is going on a train from one destination to another destination. So train is going in right time. In fact, train is going well ahead of time. It's like you feel that you are going to reach the destination many hours before. But just before reaching the destination, so there is a big bridge in the middle of a river, and suddenly the train comes and stops there for 7 hours there. Just before reaching the destination, you'll be more frustrated just few kilometers before, because you are just thinking that you're just going to about to reach the destination, and just before that, the train is stuck up there. You can't get down and walk to the station also, because you are stuck in the middle of a river. So similarly, Bharat Maharaj was almost in the stage of love of Godhead. He was in the initial stages of prema, but that time he became attached to a deer. So Vishnu Chakravarti mentions, why did actually Bharat Maharaj become like that? Vishnu Chakravarti mentions, the Lord shows his affection for his devotee by protecting Bharat Maharaj in the form of the deer, so that he would fall in the ocean of remorse in order to drown him in the ocean of prema. So Bharat Maharaj became a deer, and Krishna gave him the remembrance of his previous life. So because of that, Bharat Maharaj started repenting that how he actually deviated from his spiritual path, how he became attached to a deer. Because of that, he had to become the deer. He fell in the ocean of remorse. So Lord actually made him fall in the ocean of remorse so that he would later drown him in the ocean of prema. So the next life, when he became Jadabharat, then he was so conscious of Krishna that at every moment he was so conscious of Krishna and conscious of Maya. He was like so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So basically the point is, when we go through certain difficult situations and we try to practice Krishna consciousness, then at the end, when Krishna gives a realization, we will be able to relish that more. Just like these devotees, after going through the trekking, they were able to actually relish the swimming pool more than the previous day when they actually went to the swimming pool directly. And the same principle applies even the decoration of the Lord. It is described that the fourth canto, Simha Skanda Twisho Bibrat Saubhaga Griva Kaustubam Shriyona Payanya Kshipta Nika Shoshma Rasolavat. Lord Shiva is describing the beauty of the Lord. He says that in the chest of the Lord there is the golden streaks of Shrivatsa, the golden hairs on the chest of the Supreme Lord. And the chest of the Lord is dark in color. And the golden streaks, the Shrivatsa hair, in the background of the dark chest of the Lord is so beautiful that it defeats the beauty of the gold testing stone. So the gold testing stone is a gold testing stone in which a gold is rubbed against a gold testing stone. If it is a real gold, there will be a golden streaks would come. And the gold testing stone is dark in color. When there's a golden streaks in the background of a dark stone, it is very beautiful to look at. Similarly, Shrivatsa hair in the dark chest of the Lord appears so beautiful that it defeats the beauty of the gold testing stone. So similarly, the point is, just like the devotees were able to relish the swimming pool after going through this thing. That's why it is said that Krishna's pastimes in the material world is actually more wonderful than the Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world is compared to a diamond kept in a golden plate. Krishna's pastimes in the material world is like a diamond kept in a dark blue plate. So that is why like when the devotees design the dresses, like they make sure what kind of backdrops and what kind of like cloths and ornaments they use, which have give you a contrasting effect. So basically, the point is, these are some of the lessons which you can learn from this event of and devotees like going to a swimming pool after the mountain. And I'll conclude with this point. And one important thing is, like when we go on a mountain trek, like sometimes a person may attach to, he may find a comfortable place during the mountain journey, and then he may start staying in that place. So similarly, sometimes on a spiritual path, one may become attached to intermediate comforts, and he may actually forget the goal, and he may actually waste some time. Like for example, in the first canto, in the case of, if you see the Narada Muni's journey, Narada Muni traveled all over the world, but the Narada Muni did not actually wait at a single, did not actually become, he did not become attracted to any particular place. In fact, it's mentioned that Narada Muni, he was neither elated, nor did he become fearful in going through different places. And he did not waste a single moment, although he went through like prosperous metropolis and beautiful gardens and everything. So one of the symptoms of a devotee, serious devotee, is that he does not waste a single moment. In fact, I'll conclude this point. I remember that like some time back when I had visited my hometown, so that time one of my relatives, he said that there is a nearby place, and he said that so this MP of this particular district, he has made this particular city world famous. I was wondering like how he made world famous. Then he said, So recently there was something called 2G scam in the political field. So that was one of the greatest scams in the political history, in which like something like 1,60,000 crores of money were being actually misused. And the person was responsible for, he was the MP from that particular district. So he said, they were saying that he has made that place world famous. So basically, when you see this, like scams, people, whenever like money is being misused, people talk about it. Oh, so much of money, like, it's not just like 1 crore or 2 crore, 1,60,000 crore. And people talk about it all the time. But actually, if you see, there is even a greater scam which many of us may actually indulge in all the time. Because according to Chanakya Pandit, he says that one moment of time cannot be purchased even by spending crores of money. Like even by spending 1,60,000 crores of money, one cannot purchase one moment of time which is lost. So, why people talk about scams? Because when the money is not being utilized for what it is meant for, when it goes into the pockets of the people, when it is not being utilized for what it is meant for, it is considered as a big scam. So similarly, the time which you have got in the human form of life, it is supposed to be engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. And especially when a person, having got the human form of life, when a person knows that the goal of life is to engage in the devotional service of the Lord, and when a person has that time, but when a person does not utilize that time for engaging in the devotional service of the Lord, then that is actually greater than the 2G or 3G scams. So we see that Narada Muni, in his travels, although he went through so many places, he did not waste a single moment. He was actually fixed in the goal, that he did not become attached to certain comforts or something. So, in this way, we just discuss some of the lessons from this mountain trekking. To summarize, we talked about why people go on adventures and trekking, and we talked about how there is no competition in the Krishna consciousness. And we talked about the lesson that sometimes a person may come later and then he may go ahead of us. And we talked about how like a small deviation can cause actually great change over a period of time. How one should be conscious of Maya and all these things. So I'll stop here. I think it's already 2:50, I think. I have kirtan. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।